This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Metis.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. We're live and on the air. Tee to Green every Saturday here at 7, right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Metis, thanks for being with us. This week we are live at Penn Hills Club in Bradford, Pennsylvania. We made the trek from New York into PA, and we're here today with a beautiful view here, just sitting outside the clubhouse on the patio. And we welcome you in, Kyle Powell, producing back in our Amherst studios. We're with you for 2 hours this week, as we do every week, that there is a major on the PGA Tour this week, the Open Championship being held in Northern Ireland, and we'll be with you here for the next 2 hours. We've got a real busy show, a big event here on Monday and Tuesday. We'll tell you about that. As that's coming up, it's called the Blaisdell Open. So Pro-Am, I should say, the Blaisdell Pro-Am. So we'll have that information coming up. But a lot, of course, on the Open Championship. High drama yesterday with what went on at the top of the leaderboard and at the cut line. So we'll talk about Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, David Duval and his 14. Some of the other conflicts even going on in the course. What people have been thinking about it. We'll have all that here coming up along the way. Guests, we've got a lot of them. George Duke from the Zippo Factory going to join us here at 7:30. He's a big part of why this tournament goes on. We'll have him on at 7:30. Cassie Stein, the tournament director from the Porter Cup at 7:50. Porter Cup Media Day was held earlier this week. I was there, so I'll share some thoughts on that. Jake Northrup, the Western New York PGA Pro, will join us here from Penn Hills Club at 8. And Stephen Barkowski, the executive director of the Western New York PGA at 8:30. So jam-packed show, a lot on the Open here along the way as we bring in Kevin and Jeff. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. You know, this clubhouse here, it's my first time down at Penn Hills Club. And you drive up, and I felt like I was on the set of Game of Thrones with this castle-like looking clubhouse.
It's cool.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Look coming up here to the club.
Yeah, the interior is awesome. I forget the architect's name. Jake Northrup was telling me yesterday. I think it was originally designed for Wingfoot, and then they didn't have the footage or the space for it.
Yeah.
And then they brought that design over here. They said they got a deal on it.
And,
so, yeah.
And you set off the alarm.
I set off the alarm walking in. Yep, yep. Welcome to Bradford, PA, Jeff. Yeah.
That's right.
I set off the alarm. But it's beautiful. I mean, we're in the Allegheny Mountains. A little bit of fog this morning, nice and cool, but it's not going to stay that way. Big event here this week, huge first place check for the winner. A lot of good players coming down. Going to be a real nice time.
It's a great tradition started by
George Blaisdell.
Yeah, George Blaisdell, the founder of the Zippo Company, mm-hmm. which is based in Bradford. You know, Zippo lighters, Zippo hand warmers. Mr. Duke will tell us more about that when he joins us here. But it's great that they've carried on that tradition of this golf tournament here. And, you know, we have this banner in front of us and all these great past photos of the winners and Mr. Blaisdell. So kind of cool that, you know, that's one of the great things about golf is the tradition of the game and the tradition of the events. And we have a lot of them going on in Western New York at private club, be it invitationals, one-day invites and such. And they're named after people who were members of clubs or benefactors of the community. It's one of the things I love about the game of golf is the tradition and the names and these great people that came before us that you get to hear about that they're named after. And many of those tournaments, the flights, are named after former members, right, of clubs, which is kind of cool.
All those traditions. And this is a Walter Travis golf course, same as Stafford, a real nice layout. Brian and I will get to play it later today. I'm looking forward
to it. I'm going to knock a few holes around with you before I have to go back to Buffalo and play with some Michelob Ultra winners.
Maybe not. We might have four.
Oh, well, I guess I won't knock it around with you. Thanks for the invitation. Okay.
That was warm.
Wow. Good to see you, Jeff. I haven't seen you in a few weeks.
That's right. Absolutely. But this will be a big event for Western New York PGA Pros, an opportunity to play and compete.
Yeah.
For a
nice prize, there is a very nice type. I believe it's $50,000 for first place.
Wow.
So that's a
Well, if it wasn't, it is now.
Yeah. And it's players from all over, too, not just the West New York PGA. So there's a lot of invitees and stuff like that. Field of 72 pros, real good players. Should be a lot of fun. Yeah, it's just a great, great event. And then afterwards in the clubhouse, there's a pro-am Monday and the pros event is Tuesday.
Well, and you know, that's one of the other things, by the way, you know, Bradford, PA. It's in not only in our listening area here on WGR 550 AM, but it's also within the section of Western New York. That's
correct.
An important thing to point out. The Western New York PGA, and Steve Bartkowski can mention this, but, you know, it goes all the way, to Canandaigua, Penyan, all the way down
out
here to Bradford,
yep.
PA, Erie, PA.
Yep.
Yeah, so it encompasses a large geographical area.
And actually, we're one of the smaller sections in the country.
Really?
There's 41 sections. We're one of the smallest in the country.
In terms of geography or members?
I am members, both. Yep, we're one of the smaller sections. But it seems pretty big when you're in it. Yeah.
Well, you guys have done, especially with the foundation and the solo riders, your impact is tremendous. I bet you your impact per capita might be bigger.
Oh, I would think we're a pretty active section. We're a pretty close group. We do a lot together. I know our first solo rider is supposed to be being delivered down to Erie, Pennsylvania. I saw photos of it shortly, so I'm looking forward
cool.
to that. Yeah.
By the way, you can the Reach Foundation, we have our event coming up, and it's filling up fast. The Duster Challenge, August 2nd, Friday evening, August 2nd at Fox Valley Club. It's on the putting green out front. Music, Shy Guy Sean's our DJ this year. Looking forward to that from Kiss 98.5. And, you know, music, we'll have plenty of beverages from our friends at Michelob Ultra. We got food for you, and it's a fun event. Putting, anybody can putt. We will find out Western New York's best putter in match play. That's happening Friday, August 2nd. Go to Duster, it's with a D, DusterChallenge.com, to register. If you can't do it, you can make a $20 donation on the donate button. Several people have done that. We appreciate that. And yes, I will take some coffee, young lady. Thank you very much. but if you can't, that is greatly appreciated. Those donations go right to the Reach Foundation in Western New York, which is the whole program, which Jeff's very involved with. Jeff's a veteran, and I know it means a lot for you to teach veterans and help them with PTSD and the other things that they have going on.
Yeah, and our whole program just wrapped up last week, and it was cool. We had we gave all the veterans a pass to play at Glen Oak, you know, free round, and a couple group of them came out this week. It was great to see them, great to catch up. They become buddies. They become friends after you spend some time with them. There's a connection there, and it's really been neat and really been fun for me, and it's my favorite day of the week when the veterans are around, to be honest. That the juniors are fun too, I'm not gonna lie, the kids are fun.
But you can, if you want to be a part of it and help donate toward the Reach Foundation, DusterChallenge.com is the site. And are we giving away a spot today?
I don't know, we have a spot to give away.
We'll have to count it up.
Stay tuned, we'll do it on Twitter.
Okay.
If we need to.
Speaking of giveaways, I know for a fact we are giving away a Tee to Green Club prize today.
That's very generous of me to not give that away right now, right? We do, yes. Listen, every major this year we've had a major giveaway courtesy of Michelob Ultra, and today is no different here with the Open Championship, and we're giving away an Odyssey putter, a white-hot putter. It's awesome. It's, the grip is a Michelob Ultra grip. It's pretty cool. It's a pistol Michelob Ultra grip. It's pretty cool. It's got the logo just in the corner of the putter, and it's, you know, the putter's valued over $200, so we're giving that away to one lucky TD Green Club member. If you didn't sign up for free at tdgreen.golf, you're not in it today. I even put out a thing on Twitter the other day, hey, last day to sign up. We got some more members in. It's free to join. Year-round, you get a newsletter and special giveaways, and we're going to give away a putter, maybe something else special today, too, as a consolation prize. But that's going to be happening, and we'll Periscope that live on the Twitter feed so you can see it. And by the way, I just feel like mentioning it. Somebody in the golf community, when we did the one at Tantera for the PGA Championship, Brian pulled my name, like just because he tagged me. I said, did you watch the video? Oh, no, didn't watch the video. Right. Now, watch the video.
Why would I pull your name?
Yes. I mean, like.
It's there for transparency, that video.
Yeah, that's why we do these videos. Yes. So you can see that, hey, there's over 500 names in the box. We're pulling out one, and that's going to win the putter. I was finally, and then, whatever. Okay, yeah. Let's talk Open Championship, Brian.
Let's do it. Absolutely. Yeah, first, let's start at the top just quickly. We'll get to our leaderboard more in depth later on, but J.B. Holmes and Shane Lowry are your leaders right now at 8-under par. Tommy Fleetwood and Lee Westwood are one shot back at 7-under par. If you're planning on watching today, they will tee off at 10:50 this morning, the leaders, 10:50 this morning. Fleetwood and Westwood in the second-last pairing, they're at 10:40. And then there's some big names that are going to be chasing down these leaders, including Justin Rose, who's two back, Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth, who are three back, Tony Finau, Patrick Reed, Jon Rahm, Matt Kuchar are all four back, Dustin Johnson headlines, Stenson, Simpson, Schauffele, they're all at minus three. They are five back. And with still two rounds to go, we know how the weather can change in an instant here. I got to think, honestly, anybody that's even under par at this point, you'd have to say Kevin is still in this event. You go down, there's still some pretty quality names in that 3 and 2 under area. But let's talk about at the top, Lowry and Holmes. What jumps out from what you've seen from those two so far?
J.B. Holmes, this is a guy who, he's missed four cuts in a row, and he comes in now, he's leading the Open Championship. Hits the ball a long way. I think he took advantage of some rather docile conditions.
Got the good side of the draw.
Yeah, got the good side of the draw for sure at Royal Port Rush and took advantage of that. And Shane Lowry, he's an Ulsterman. He knows how to play in those conditions, and I think it's fantastic. He's an excellent player. He's had some ups and downs. Speaking of Canadian Open, on Friday, second round, I had to go out. He's playing well. I picked him up on the 18th, which was his outward nine. He's going to one green now. It's a steep hill at Hamilton Golf and Country Club. And I was halfway up the walkway calling a shot from high above, and he puts out for par, and he starts walking up the hill. And I said, hey, they need a tow rope here. And he goes, I get it right, and that's why I'm leaving now, because I still have honors on the tee, but if I wait for them, I won't make it. Terrible Irish accent, but whatever. It was really funny. We shared a laugh. He's a affable guy. He's somebody that you'd root for. He's a really nice guy. But I like Koepka and Rose here on moving day on Saturday. They're in striking distance. I mean, how do you not like Brooks Koepka? He even said after his second round, I was 2 under. I didn't really make a putt.
He said there was a lot more out there for him.
Yes, yeah. And when the best player in the world says there's more out there for him, look out, right? I mean, today's a day. It's moving day for a reason. I expect Koepka and Rose to make a big move today.
Yeah, I've been on the Brooks Koepka train for a while here. He's playing well, looks solid. You don't win it in the first two rounds. He's just got to be in position. Tiger always said it. Tiger never seemed to start off fast when he was winning tournaments. Just be there on the weekend. Be in the mix on Sunday afternoon.
It's a crescendo.
Yeah. You build to it, and he's comfortable in that situation, too. Now he is certainly – the stage isn't too big for Brooks Koepka anywhere he goes. So, Justin Rose, is there a better ball striker? I don't know. There is, I'm sure, but he's a tremendous ball striker.
He's a great ball striker. He's improved his putting. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a guy who's won the FedEx Cup last year. He was the number one player in the world at a time. He won at Torrey Pines earlier this year. It wouldn't shock anybody to see Justin Rose win.
Didn't he voice some displeasure in the new major schedule? This week, I thought I heard on Twitter he wasn't happy that didn't seem to enjoy that the
PGA was earlier.
Yeah, the PGA was earlier, and now it's July, and it's the last major of the year. But it's the way it is, and he's going to have to deal with it. And I think most people enjoyed it. Now you have the FedEx Cup, and then you don't have to compete with football season.
Maybe he's voicing that because next year you have the Olympics again.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's part of the reason we moved it. It got
correct.
Moved.
Yes. Yeah. And then you got the Tour Championship that is going to have to be moved and such. But he's the only one I've heard complain about it.
Yeah, me too. I haven't heard a complaint. Other people seem to enjoy it once a month. He was saying that there wasn't enough time between events to get ready. That sometimes it takes more than a month to prepare yourself for a major championship.
Well, that I understand. You have to play. See what this new schedule has done with the majors and with the Tour Championship. Is you have to play events. You can't where are you going to pick your break? It's tough to pick that break in there. After the U.S. Open, you had The Travelers Championship, you had the one in Detroit, you had 3M, John Deere, you had four events afterwards. Hard to take any of those off. I think he took them all off. I don't think he played in one of them.
Correct.
And I think that might have been his issue. He was looking for an event to take off in there. Well, he took four off, and that may have been an issue. And then next week, you have – yes, guys, we're here, beeping the horn. guys love that, by the way, putting on the green.
Yeah.
My fellow member.
The oldest joke in the book.
That's right.
Yeah.
But next week's a World Golf Championship.
A lot of guys are going to play in that.
In Memphis, yeah. Right? Yeah, you don't want to skip those because there's no cut. It's, you know
– Big purse,
a lot of FedEx Cup points to be had, and maybe that's what he's lamenting. Is that move? Not sure.
And you got to go from Northern Ireland – and get all the way back to the States for that.
Well,
right?
Well, that event, though, probably has a charter flight for those guys to come back. So it's not, they're used to that stuff, though.
Yeah.
Right. They're not roughing it, I'm sure, on the flight back.
Well, no. I mean, but no.
They're not sitting in the middle seat back in row 45.
Well, but like, you know, the John Deere Classic will charter a plane to bring players over. Like a lot of tournaments now are doing that. For ease of travel and schedule and such. So.
And you don't see NetJets on their shirts for no reason either. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but no, but like last year I worked at John Deere and I was flying out the same evening and they had a little lounge. Like, I almost went over there and I, hey, can I grab some food too? Like, they had a lounge set up. All the players were getting ready to go over, on a charter along with their caddies and their families. So it's actually a pretty nice setup for them.
Yeah, the calendar is good in terms of having it. This buildup. The only thing to me that I find is a negative is that for us here, it feels like golf season is just like it's hitting its peak.
Yeah. Midsummer right now.
Yeah. And this is the last, for a lot of people, this is like the last time they might tune in to watch golf. Like this is the last big event, and I feel like I want another one.
Do you think it'll now, add importance to the FedEx Cup?
Well, maybe more people will now pay attention to that because they're looking for another event. So we'll have to see actually how it'll play out. I hate the expression, what time will tell, but like, we'll see maybe if that will draw people in.
It'll increase the ratings. I have no doubt about that.
Because you're not going against the NFL anymore.
You're not.
So it is
going to
go
Sunday.
Up.
Yeah. So,
and ultimately that's what they'll sell regardless of whether they think it went well or not. They'll say, look, our ratings went up. It was a good move.
Right.
But I also have to remember that the other parts of the country, the golf season doesn't necessarily kind of handle it how it does here in Western New York, where we think like now is like, For if you're a golfer, you're listening to the show right now, you are, like, this is the time that you're probably playing as much as you probably will all year. And, like, I don't want like, the PGA Tour fun things to go away. Now, the playoffs for me, I mean, I'm going to watch it anyway. But for the, you know, the casual guy that maybe just watches the majors, I mean, this is the end. But the time in between, I understand that's points from Rose. Maybe it takes a little bit away from some of these events because these guys are only playing maybe at most once in between. The bigger names because of the fact that you've got a major, three or four events in between. They might only play once, and then they do that preparation week or that rest week after a major. So I don't know if some of the tournaments in between are feeling like it's helping or it's hurting.
Well,
I think it depends on where it lies.
You had two – like the Travelers has established itself. Like yeah, that's after the U.S. Open, that's always going to be a big event now because players are going like they –
Well, look at the names that went this year, Kevin, when it was at Pebble.
Right.
I mean, that's
another
as far as it's going to go.
Though.
But if a lot of times the U.S. Open is in the Northeast, like, I mean, then you're going to get even a better field.
But that event used to be, it wasn't well attended.
Yeah.
And they started recruiting players and they treat them like gold. The caddies like gold, the media like gold. I mean, it's like best in class. It wins every year. And that's why players go. When they have a choice of what tournaments to go, well, hey, what's it like? Are you kidding? You know what they do for the family? Like, blah, blah, blah. All this other stuff that you have to do as a tournament now. And then you had Quicken, the Rocket Mortgage, which used to be in D.C. That moved to Detroit. Those fans showed out, turned out in droves, right, for that tournament. So we'll see how that evolves. And then the 3M Championship in Minnesota, which for many, actually had a decent field. For many, that might be the last event they play before they go over to play the Scottish Open because a lot of the players want to get Lynx Golf in competitively before they play the Open Championship, is which would happen this year. Tiger didn't do that.
Yeah.
And Tiger didn't make the cut. You know, we talk about stories. We had the leaders. We're talking about Koepka. Tiger and Phil both missed the cut. By the way, Phil, please release your hard reset recipe. I could use that. a six-day fast to drop 15 pounds. Yes, I'm in on that because of heavy golf season and tournaments. But it didn't help his golf game. Tiger looked like a fatigued mid-40-year-old.
He did.
And he's even spoken about that. And, you know.
He seemed disinterested almost, you know, his body language to me. Not disinterested, but resigned to his fate.
He was clearly uncomfortable, right? Wincing after shot. He's sore. The guy, it's understandable.
And what was his interview? He said, can't wait to get home.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
He here's a quote from Woods saying, quote, I'm going to have my hot weeks. I'm going to be there in contention with a chance to win. I'll win tournaments, but there's going to be some times where I'm just not going to be there. And then he finished his talk with Jimmy Roberts on Golf Channel saying, I just want to go home.
Right.
He's been traveling a lot, not for golf, but with his family, I guess, having a lot of vacations and things like that. But I thought Nick Faldo made a point that maybe is worth watching. I was hoping maybe Tiger would play next week in Memphis where it would be hot to kind of see if this would pan out. He said, look, Tiger's best three tournaments of the year were in Mexico where it was warm, in Augusta where it was hot and humid, and in Columbus, Ohio at the Memorial where it was hot that week. He said, look at the tournaments where it was cool weather. PGA at Bethpage because it was in May this year, didn't make the cut. Pebble Beach made the cut barely, but it was cool and foggy and drizzly all week. And then he said this week, he goes, the 3 weeks that it was cool, he just never got going. All 3 weeks talked about not feeling good, being sore, being limited. Then the 3 weeks in Mexico, he made it to what, the quarters of the match play? The Masters, we know he won. And the Memorial, he had a top 15 finish. So those are his six big events of the season. And Faldo's just like, I'm not saying this is solely it, but he goes, it's looking like that could be a big piece of it.
That's why we move to Florida when we get older, right? Get the
warm
weather.
Listen, I'm a few years older than Tiger, and and anybody middle aged, your back, right? I mean, if you have any back problems whatsoever, when it gets warmer, I'll wear a pullover to start, and then just I'm like, why? I go, I just want the heat to get my muscles loose, right? You know. Yeah.
Why do you think these, you know, we watch
and I'm
guys
not saying, who, by the way, people, save your tweet. I don't saying I'm anywhere near Tiger.
Yes.
Just saying I've had some back issues and not even the extent of his. And when it's warmer, it feels great.
And Faldo said when you're tighter, your swing comes shorter. He said he was pulling a lot of balls. You kind of go along that line?
Yeah, I think, you know, when your body feels good, you feel confident, you make swings. You know, if you're trying to make an aggressive swing or just feeling the shot that you're trying to hit, you know, just what that shot feels like. Sometimes when that body doesn't respond the way you want to, you know, that's why that TPI, the Titleist Performance Institute, is so popular. All the players are into the fitness thing now because it does allow your body to move the way you want. Everybody has restrictions, you know, so we sit in a car too much, or we messed up our hip as a kid or our knee. So it affects how our body moves in the golf swing. And if things don't want to move, like if you're trying to make a move and trying to hit a big loop and draw or whatever, and you make your backswing and you feel a little tight, hey, you don't hit that shot the way you want to, or you don't feel confident stepping up over that shot. So I do think there's a lot to that, especially with back or you know, there's a lot of places, you know, people laugh about golf, but there's a lot of things that you're swinging a golf club at 120 miles an hour around your body. That puts a lot of force on your body, a lot of strain.
And I think Tiger probably figured, too, at the Open Championship, Lynx Golf, that he can get away with playing some handsy shots, if you will, Jeff, for lack of a better term there, where he can
creative golf.
Yes, be creative golf, and it didn't work out. Did not work out for him, unfortunately, but I get it.
Yeah. Hey, before we go
he won a Masters this year.
That's right. he'd sign up for
it's
that.
All good.
He'd sign up for that every year. If you said every year's going to play out, you're going to win a major, you're going to miss two cuts in a major, and you're going to have a 21st place finish, you'd sign up for that every year.
So, but based upon Faldo's or something, so we should expect he'll contend at Augusta in the U.S. Open, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy all that, but yeah.
Well, no,
because your back comes and goes. It could get better.
Yeah. And he was saying this before Tiger told everyone that he wasn't playing Memphis next week. He had said, he goes, it'll be – and then he even said, he goes, I'll be curious if he plays Memphis next week to see if my theory holds up, because it would be warm ideally, you know.
I don't think he plays again until Northern Trust.
He said he's not playing until the playoffs. Tiger was asked yesterday if he's playing Memphis, the World Golf event, next week. He said no. He goes, I'm going to rest up. I want to go home, and then I'll be there for the playoffs. He said his plan is to play in all three as long as his points hold up. Hey, before we go to break here, I want to do one quote from David Duval. A story on day one ended up actually getting off to a great start. He was 2-under through two, looking good. Duval playing because he's a former champion. Former champions are able to play until age 60 in this championship. Duval ended up on one hole taking what was a 13, then a 15. Later they went back and changed it to a 14. Regardless, he shot a 90 in round one, came back with a 78 the next day. But Duval said afterwards, after his round on Thursday, which turned into be a disaster, obviously, he said, quote, "You have an obligation as a professional athlete. If you play, you post your score. Am I happy about it? No. Is there some embarrassment to it? Maybe. I don't know. But I teed off in the Open Championship, and I shot 90 today, so put it on the board."
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, we've all posted scores we're not proud of, but you post your score. I teach juniors that right away, right from the beginning. Hey, no matter what you shoot, it doesn't matter what you shoot, you put that score up there. That means you try your hardest till the end. That's
absolutely
why.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what? He had to post. He's a commentator on Golf Channel. Like, I mean,
and I bet
he can criticize players, tournaments. He's got to do it.
And I bet he tried to shoot 89 over 90. I can guarantee he was grinding till the end.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Called a nun-tuple, right? Nun-tuple bogey? That's what I thought I read. I never even heard, the word. But
well, I should know.
Yes. A big piece of that is that he didn't play the right ball.
He had three tee shots, played the wrong ball, right?
Yeah.
So he had to go back and tee off again? Or that? I don't know.
It was a big mess.
Got flustered.
But I agree with the quote, that he essentially take it like a man and own up to whatever you shot, you shot.
Handle it with class.
That's right. Speaking of that, Rory McIlroy did a lot of that. We still got a lot of Rory to talk about here, too. More about the guys at the top, more about Brooks Koepka here as we head to break from Penn Hills Club in Bradford. Coming up next, George Duke from Zippo. He'll tell us more about the big event, the Blaisdell Pro-Am, coming up here at Penn Hills on Monday and Tuesday. He'll join us live next. Still later on in the show, a Porter Cup preview. That's next week at Niagara Falls Country Club. Cassie Stein, the tournament director, joins us. The Western New York PGA Pro here at Penn Hills, Jake Northrup, he'll join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Stephen Barkowski from the Western New York PGA as well. And, of course, lots of good stuff here from Jeff Minas and Kevin Sylvester. I'm Brian Colziel. Tee to Green Club giveaway also along the way. Stay tuned right here. Tee to Green live from Bradford here at Penn Hills Club on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I was hitting really good coming in. I was excited about this week. So I felt like I had a good chance to have a good week. So, so far it's been really good.
All right, that is the co-leader of the Open Championship, J.B. Holmes. He and Shane Lowry teeing off this morning at 10:50 Eastern time. Holmes and Lowry are at 8 under par. Tommy Fleetwood, Lee Westwood are one shot back entering the day. They are in the second last group. They will be going off at 10:40 Eastern. As we welcome you back here to beautiful Penn Hills Club in Bradford, Pennsylvania, Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. More on the Open coming up. A Porter Cup preview coming up. That's next week at Niagara Falls Country Club. We'll talk with the pro here from Penn Hills Club, Jake Northrup, in our 8 o'clock hour, and also Stephen Barkowski, the executive director of the Western New York PGA, also coming up. But joining us right here on the patio, the chairman of the board of the Zippo company here that is based in Bradford, George Duke, is joining us. George, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here with you guys.
You're the first chairman of the board we've had on the show, by the way.
Congratulations. Oh,
wow. That's right.
Well, thank you for coming out, though. Yeah. We appreciate it. The hospitality.
Well, we appreciate you guys being down here and covering this event and putting a little spotlight on it. We really appreciate it. We worked very hard over the last several years to grow this event, and again, we certainly appreciate you being here.
Yeah, the event is called the Blaisdell Pro-Am here at Penn Hills Club. Can you maybe just give us a little background about the event that has been going on for many years?
Yes. My grandfather, George G. Blaisdell, was the founder of Zippo way, way back in, the company was formed in late 1932. His first full year really of production was in 1933, so we're talking a long, long time ago. And of course, it's the famous Zippo lighter that I think just about everybody's heard of.
I have an Elvis Presley one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool.
But my grandfather was a very, very avid golfer and a very avid supporter of the game, and played most all of his life, really, and actually won the what was called the North Penn Country Club, won the club championship in 1932, which was actually the year in the fall of 32 when he created the company, Zippo Manufacturing, and invented the lighter. So he was an avid golfer prior to starting the corporation, and then played through that. And I think if I look up on the board in there that has the previous champions, he won the club championship 8 times. So while he was working very, very hard to create this this small little Zippo lighter company, he never gave up his love for golf and playing in it. So,
and that's led to this event, right? So this event is it's a huge pro-am. This is a big purse. This is one of the biggest purses we play for as professionals in the area, that's for sure. And you're sponsoring that. Can you tell us a little bit about this event?
Well, let me just start out and go back in history a little bit. My grandfather started an event out here at the Penn Hills called the Zippo Open, and that was in 1963 that event first started off. And it went through 1974, and then that event stopped. And then here, most recently, in the last 6 years, we decided that we wanted to put a pro-am golf tournament together, really to spotlight the Penn Hills Club. And we thought appropriately it should be named the Blaisdell Pro-Am. Again, we are spotlighting here the Penn Hills Club, a beautiful, beautiful club.
Walter Travis designed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my grandfather loved this place. It's safe to say that he put a lot of resources into him and other people to create what the Penn Hills Club is today. And so most appropriately, we named this event that we're at today and have been for the last 6 years, the Blaisdell Pro-Am.
I bet you there have been some great times out here in this patio with the overlooking the pool and the golf course. You think of a classic country club and this castle look, which, by the way, it's the same design as Wingfoot's clubhouse, same architect, and this is just a smaller version of it. This is incredible.
It is. It's like hallowed ground to a lot of people who live in this area and have been around the Penn Hills Club generation after generation. And I can even remember when I'd be out here in the summertime and Grandpa would be coming off of number 18 Green Red over here, and I'd flag him down and get a ride on the golf cart up to the pro shop. Now, that was, you know, this tall.
Golf cart rides are always fun.
Oh, yeah, always fun. When you're 6 years old, you know.
When you're 50, they're fun still. Yeah.
I love how you just said that Grandpa would be coming up. I think that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And for a non-golfer, there must be a lot of tradition, a lot of connection for you and your family to this event.
It really is, yeah. My grandfather was a huge player. My mother was a huge player. My aunt was a huge player, and even my mother, I believe, was in a playoff back in the 50s for the club championship, and she played off against my aunt. And
sisters or sister-in-law?
They were sisters.
Okay.
There's no love lost.
They were the two daughters of George Blaisdell, and Mom pulled it off. So yeah, but there's been a lot of family play at this club and love this club, and so yeah, it's all part of the whole history and everything.
Was there a side bet in that between your mom and aunt? Maybe, hey, all right, loser has to host Christmas.
Yeah, there could have been, or there could have been. When Daddy brings home some of the lighters, and we've got to do a little work on them to put some of the decorating on the top of the lighter, you got to do 100, and I only have to do 50.
I got a question. Do you know how many lighters you've made or sold? Is that number?
I
can't imagine. World War II, you must have just, it'd have been ridiculous.
Yeah, well, World War II, everything that my grandfather could make from the company went to the GIs. Mm-hmm. You literally could not purchase a Zippo lighter during that time, and really World War II was what put Zippo on the map, because while he He started a company in the early 30s. He struggled a great deal in the 30s to get traction with that company. And then, of course, World War II came along. And World War II is what put the company really on the map and in sort of a worldwide way, because the GIs carried them. They even left some over there. People in Europe began to know the product and the brand. As far as the total number that we have produced, we are between 550 million and 600 million lighters.
Oh my! Wow.
So, but that, you know, that's over 83 years. Or no, it's 88 years now. So
still a lot.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
And you evolved to the hand warmers, right?
The hand warmers. Yeah, we've done some product diversification. Smoking isn't what it used to be, as we all know, and that type of thing. So we do a hand warmer now, and several other products to broaden the appeal of the product line.
And right here in Bradford.
That's right.
Most of it all here in Bradford. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Thank you for keeping jobs in America.
Yeah.
That's right. 7:39 here on Tee to Green. We're live at Penn Hills Club in Bradford, and the chairman of the board of the Zippo Company, George Duke, is joining us here. George and his company, a big part of why there is this big event here at Penn Hills upcoming next week, the Blaisdell Pro-Am event. Kevin just kind of got going on this, but that's where I was going my next question with you. It seems like the history, even some of the staff here, it seems like everybody's so proud about this place, this event. But Bradford itself, your company, all together, kind of coming together, this community in areas like this, I mean, this is kind of America's heartland, and I know this is – you know, kind of a feel-good question here, but I mean, this is a spot where, like, the American story is written. Like, hey, a company made it work, it able to be successful, the town embraced it, the area is coming together, and, you know, you kind of have great traditions and celebrate it, like what's coming up next week.
Absolutely. You know, and Zippo Manufacturing in Bradford, Pennsylvania, they really go hand in hand. Without Bradford, Zippo wouldn't be what it is today. And likewise, Bradford wouldn't be what it is without Zippo. And, you know, like I said, they go hand in hand.
There's a museum, correct, that people can come if they want to see?
Yes, there is. And there's a museum which spotlights the Zippo lighter, and also a subsidiary company called Case Cutlery Company, the Case Knives.
Yeah.
They are also located here in Bradford, and it's a company that we've owned since 1993. Actually, the history behind Case goes back to 1882, so it's a considerably older company than Zippo, but two fantastic American brands, and of course they're all made here, right here in Bradford, Pennsylvania. A little piece of Americana, without a doubt, here in Bradford.
No doubt.
This tournament, it's a two-day tournament. There's a pro-am on Monday, and then Tuesday the pros compete. You know, for the title, here. So, has it been tough to find golfers play in the pro am, or is this, do you have a waiting list for people to play on Monday? Because I'm just reading here the amateurs. There's three ams with two pros in every group. The ams play for $20,000 in prizes.
Yes.
Well, Kevin is saying, George, is he's available on Monday.
I'm thinking about 2020.
Yeah, he doesn't know Kev well yet. Yeah.
And I'm looking for a scholarship, George. But anyhow. No.
Well, I think you should definitely think about 2020. Mm-hmm. But the pro-am play will occur on Monday, and then of course we send out the all the pros on Tuesday, and then first prize is that $50,000 check. And
but does it fill up fast though the Monday, in case someone listening says, hey, you know, I don't want to do that, I want to come down and play next year?
You know, it this year it filled up very, very quickly. It filled up, I think, you know, in a matter of about 4 weeks. And this is going back to the April, May time.
Sure.
When we opened up the enrollment, and it filled up very, very quickly. And we've got guys coming in. I think there's somebody coming in from California. There's some Texas. There's, you know, so it isn't just in this regional area.
Sure.
So, and I think that's kind of what we like to see about this event. You know, not only is there heavy participation from the Western New York and in this area, but we have people coming in from far off places, Florida, California, Texas. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, This is the highest paying tournament from a golf pro event in the United States, if I'm not mistaken. Mm.
For club pros? For sectional club pros.
I would believe it.
$50,000 Yeah, and you have guys not just from Western New York playing in the event. You have some regional guys.
Regional guys.
So it's a super nice event. Everybody gets stoked. I know guys are probably listening to us, hitting balls right now, getting ready to play Monday, Tuesday.
So you're saying that play with a member putt for 5 feet on 18 is a little more pressure here.
You might go through your routine and actually try to make that one today.
When you're putting for a first place prize of, am I right about this, 50 grand?
Yeah, 50,000. Yes, sir.
Wow.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's you know, I love standing up and giving the check out, and I guess that maybe that was one of the things that, that people heard about this tournament. This is our sixth year. People heard about this tournament, and we've been at the $50,000 level for the last 3 years. And I think there was some doubt in some pros, you know, out there that, you mean 50,000? It's 50,000 for the first prize, or is 50,000 for the total pool? And no, it was 50,000 for the first prize. So,
yeah, that gets your ears perked up.
I think so. Yeah. And of course, it being me and loving the game of golf and loving to watch it and stuff like that, I'm hoping for a playoff on Tuesday. But I know the pros aren't looking, not looking for that.
Yeah, that'd be a little stressful. Yeah.
Well, we did have a playoff here. I think 3 or 4 years ago, had a three-man playoff and. Went through, we started on number one and then went to number 18, and everybody was even after first hole and then got here to 18, and there was some good strategy that came into play. The guy that actually won it, he didn't drive the green. Mm-hmm. He laid up right short of the creek there, and then put his second shot really close to the hole and
made his three.
Took the money.
Good for him.
Yeah. Took the money.
That's right. Well, George, I know Kevin said it earlier, but we appreciate all that your company does for Western New York and obviously Northern Pennsylvania here. So good luck with the event. Hope you get good weather. Thanks again for coming on and joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And really appreciate you guys being here and putting some more spotlight on this event, and we're very proud of it. And again, thank you very much for.
And as a PGA professional, we thank you for offering such a purse for us to play for. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, and I hope, hey, maybe one of you guys can come on down and play next year.
I'm thinking of a team. I think we got a three-man team right here.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you're a pro.
I'm in. I'm playing. I want to win 50 grand.
That's right. 50 grand. He's in the pro division.
Yeah.
I'd love to announce that Jeff Mitis on 18. He has 12 feet. He makes this putt.
I think he peed himself. 50, hang on. 1 second.
$50,000. His hands are shaking just a little bit here as we watch the
Jeff
patio.
Is calm and cool when he plays.
This looks like a straight putt, but Jeff plays that way out to the right. Oh.
He missed by 8 feet. He's got a longer putt now.
He's still away.
Right. Thanks again, George.
Thanks, Mr. Duke.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Chairman of the Board of Zippo, George Duke, with us here on Tee to Green. We'll step aside. Another great local event next week at Niagara Falls Country Club, the Porter Cup. We'll preview that next with the tournament director, Cassie Stein. She'll join us live on the line here as Tee to Green rolls on from beautiful Penn Hills Club in Bradford, Pennsylvania, with PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, Kevin Sylvester. I'm Brian Colziel, Kyle Powell producing back in our Amherst studios here on WGR.
Bogeyed the first and then played pretty flawless for a few holes and then struggled again. And it was a day where, when yesterday felt, you know, nothing ever feels easy in a major, but yesterday was kind of comfortable. I had a lot of good shots. I made it pretty stress-free. Today wasn't like that, but I think, again, it was just another good day. Putted well, and I put a score together, which is what you got to do.
Can't say I'm on board with the shirt, though, from Tommy Fleetwood, Brian.
He wore the black and white kind of, was that a floral pattern? Or
no, I think it was,
a bowling shirt.
No, it was like, I think it was Dunes, or there might have been players out. I don't know.
Yeah. Regardless of the shirt, Tommy Fleetwood could have been reading like a recipe or reading the dictionary. I'm listening. That he's got the great accent going there. Tommy Fleetwood.
he's British, right?
That's right. No, he just there's an extra like twang to it that I just
have.
I
you
like.
Listened? By the way, have you listened to any of the open radio coverage?
Yes, there, and there's quite a bit of that.
No,
there,
I like the accents, but the one guy, the one fella, whatever part of Ireland he's from, or maybe Scotland, I don't know. Third, the TH does not come out. The H doesn't.
Turd.
There you go. And I was just kind of like,
I go,
what he's saying is awesome, but man, it just sounds like he's saying turd.
That's right. Off to the turd show.
Probably says the same thing about us in America.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
Right. Anyway, that's Tommy Fleetwood. He is in the second last group today at the Open as they go to third round. He'll tee off with Lee Westwood at 10:40. The leaders, Shane Lowry and J.B. Holmes at 10:50. More on the Open coming up next hour here on Tee to Green as we're live in Penn Hills Club in Bradford, PA. We want to thank the chairman of the board of the Zippo company, George Duke, for joining us last segment. Of course, their big event here that Zippo is a big part of, the Blaisdell Pro-Am at Penn Hills, is next week, Monday and Tuesday. Another big, great event in Western New York. On the amateur side, the Porter Cup. It's next week, Wednesday through Saturday at Niagara Falls Country Club. They held their annual media day earlier this past week, which I was there for and got lots of good information about, including getting to hear from Cassie Stein, who's the tournament director. She's joining us now on the line. Cassie, good morning. Brian, Kevin, and Jeff here with you.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cassie, all I saw from Brian about media day, which I apologize not being able to make this year, was that there were two carving stations. He didn't say anything about the golf course or his play. He just tweeted out there's two carving stations.
Well, he played well.
We should have talked about his play. Yes. Come on, the carving stations make it.
That is one of the beautiful parts of Media Day. Kevin, as you know, fully aware, that's part of any good Media Day, is it right?
Right. You want media to show up, you feed them.
I learned that at the PGA Championship.
Yes.
That's right. If you're looking for coverage for an event,
bring the food.
Bring the food out. That's right. Well, Cassie, this event starts next week. I'm sure the anticipation is coming for everybody here and all of you involved at Niagara Falls Country Club. The event starts on Wednesday, but I know that you guys have been working hard, what probably back up until last year's tournament, recruiting players. I know you guys talk every year about the field. Let's get into a little bit of that here. What are some of the highlights you think that make up this year's event in terms of the field of players?
Yeah, we've been going to a few tournaments this past year, really amped up our recruiting, and we think we have one of the best fields in the last few years. We have a top 10 player in the world. His name is Chun Anyu. He's from Taiwan, and he plays at Arizona State. He's ranked fifth in the world. I mean, he's very good. He played in the U.S. Open this year. He's going to be a guy to keep an eye on. We have Tyler Schifacci. He's coming back for his third Porter Cup. He's going to be a senior at Georgia Tech, another great player, a top 50 player. And then John Pock, he's in the top 20. I want to say 15th or 16th right now in the world. He plays at Florida State, and he's just from the other side of the state in Scotch Plains. So we have a really strong field this year. We have a bunch of mid-ams that I think can contend. Scott Harvey's always a name. Garrett Rank, the NHL ref who comes and plays every summer. We have the defending mid-am champ, Kevin O'Connell. It's going to be a great field. Everyone's going to be able to contend, and we can't wait for it to start on Wednesday.
Can you make sure I get one of those guys in the ham-am Tuesday? I'm kidding. Sort of.
Yeah. But not really.
No, but not really. That's
my
right.
Group finished twice in that event, like five times. But anyhow, it's you know what? That is, we're talking about this pro-am. That is a fun event. You probably don't have any spots for it this Tuesday, but if you do, give out the information for that. But that's something to think about, too, for next year, because you get to play with guys who I've played with players who are on the PGA Tour now in that mm-hmm. event. Really cool deal.
Cassie, go ahead.
Go ahead. It's incredible. You get to meet these guys on a personal level in the ham on that Tuesday, and you get to follow them throughout their career. Most of these guys are going to end up on one of the pro tours, and you'll know them for life. They'll know you for life just for making that one day and getting to play with them.
Yeah, and I've talked to a couple guys on the tour now who've played in it, and they're like, yeah, I still I just texted so and so who I stayed with at the Porter Cup. So they do make connections for life, which is really a special thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cassie Stein with us, the tournament director from the Porter Cup, joining us here. Porter Cup starts next week. One player that's in contention this week, Dylan Fratelli. He just won on the PGA Tour. He's a former Porter Cup player, actually had one of the better finishing rounds. I believe he shot a 65 in the final round of the Porter Cup the year he played. But
he might be able to afford better seats in a plane. He sat next to me once from a tournament, so I think he's going first class now.
That's right. But an opportunity to do some good. And, you know, we look at some of the bigger names here. Brooks Koepka is a guy, he played in the Porter Cup twice. And, I mean, Cassie, the list every year when I sit here and look at, I feel like I learn another couple of players that have played in this event. World number one, Brooks Koepka, played in the Porter Cup twice. World number two, Dustin Johnson, played in the Porter Cup, as did Tiger Woods, as did Phil Mickelson, as did Ricky Fowler, as did Jason Day, Ben Crenshaw. We mentioned David Duval, Kuchar, JT, Simpson, Leishman, Davis Love III, Patrick Reed, Justin Leonard, Curtis Strange, Andy North, Corey Pave. I mean, just Masters winner Mike Weir, Marco Mira, Brent Snedeker. I mean, could keep going here. I mean, if you're an amateur golfer and you have aspirations to go pro, Cassie, probably you've run through Niagara Falls Country Club at some point.
Absolutely. I mean, the list continues. I'm going through the open leaderboard right now, and you can go all the way down. Webb Simpson, Thomas Peters, Kyle Stanley. It just goes on and on, and we're really fortunate to have that. I always say that these are the amateurs, these are the professionals of tomorrow. And you're going to see them out on the PGA Tour. So if you can catch their game, come to Niagara Falls Country Club and catch their game up close and walk the fairways with them, see how they act all on and off the golf course. Maybe if you're a kid, you can get an autograph. It's just pretty incredible to see, honestly.
Cassie, you mentioned some of the players that are at the top. Can you talk two things about just the international flavor? I know that there's a lot of countries involved. And also locally, too, is there any sort of connection that people might want to come check out them?
Yeah, there are eight or nine countries represented next week, from Hong Kong to Australia to Venezuela to Peru. It's incredible how far golf can reach these players. And we're really fortunate of that. But for some local flavor, ooh, this should be good. Will Thompson, he's 18 years old, 18, and he's playing in his sixth Porter Cup. Is that not insane?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What, 13 was when he started? Yeah.
And
he won the junior masters.
And he's finally going to the University of Texas in the fall. Like, we've been waiting for this. So he's going to be a stud for them next year. And then Ben Reichert, he played very well in the Porter Cup last year, finished in the top 10, and he's going to be a senior at UAB, but he's from East Amherst, New York, and he's playing in his fifth Porter Cup. So we're really excited to have some local talent, and maybe the Porter Cup can stay in Western New York, which would be really, really cool for us.
That's right. The youngest player in the field this year, you mentioned Will Thompson was the youngest player, it seems like forever here for these last handful of years. This year, Claycomb Cannon, he's 17 years old, still in high school. He's committed to play at Alabama. So again,
not a scrub.
We know that he can play. That's right. He'll be the youngest player as well. That's right.
Let me tell you a story about that after.
Cassie, before we let you go, can you give everybody the logistics on when and where and how they can get there and how to attend and be a part of the event?
Yeah, the Porter Cup is Wednesday through Saturday next week at Niagara Falls Country Club in Lewiston, New York. It's free. All we ask is a little donation to the Boy Scouts who will be running our parking lot. But just come on, watch these. They're the best amateurs in the world. And you guys mentioned, they're all over the open leaderboard now. So if you want to catch some really good golf and be outside on a golf course, then Niagara Falls Country Club next week is your place.
That's right. Cassie, thanks so much. I know you've got a couple more radio duties for us coming up, and we'll talk to you live next week. We'll be there for our show. So good luck with the weather this week. Have a great week. We'll see you on Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, right. Cassie.
You too. Cassie Stein from the Porter Cup.
You said something about scrubs. Just a little note here. I mentioned that once on a lacrosse broadcast when I'm in my early 20s, and I met a guy at a picnic, and he goes, "Well, I know who you are. You called me a scrub once in a lacrosse game." So be careful who you're calling scrubs, Jeff.
I said he was not a scrub.
He said
not a scrub. No, I know that for sure. Hey, real quick, in our Champions Tour report, sponsored by Absolute Care, worth mentioning, Tom Lehman played in made his final appearance in the Open Championship. You mentioned at the Play Dealer 60. That's one of the cool things, I think, that they do. They, you know, the Masters allows them to play till what, 65 or so, or until they deem them not competitive anymore.
Right.
The Open Championship guys get to play till they're 60. Pretty cool deal.
Yep. Lehman walked up 18. His son was caddying for him, and he said there's nobody else I'd rather be walking up with. So, yeah, Tom Lehman, a past Open champ, playing for likely the final time there at age 60. Our PGA Tour Champions Report brought to you by Absolute Care, affordable adult assisted living. Okay, we're just after 8 o'clock here. We'll step aside. When we come back, the Western New York PGA Pro from Penn Hills Club here in Bradford will join us. Jake Northrup live on the scene here on the patio. So we roll on. Don't go anywhere. We got another full hour to go here. It's Majors Week. We go double the time here on Tee to Green, and a lot more on the Open Championship coming up as well, including our thoughts on Rory McIlroy yesterday and his quest to make the cut and the scene that was there in Northern Ireland. With PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colziel, Kyle Powell producing back in our Amherst studios. Hour number two at Tee to Green from Penn Hills Club in Bradford up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.